All right, so tonight we want to look in Psalm 23. And this is a very special psalm. This psalm is read many times during the passing of a loved one, maybe during a funeral. It's also a common passage of Scripture when a person maybe is going through maybe a procedure or surgery or going through a hard time, then this is the psalm that comes to their mind to try to help them. This is a very popular psalm, and there's a lot of what I would say that there's a lot of non-Christians that know this psalm because it's in print. You can actually see it in print on individuals' walls in their house. And so I don't think we could ever exhaust everything in this psalm. And I've titled this message, I Love My Shepherd. And so I come up with that title because if you really think about what God has done for us, and you know, we're His sheep. We are children of the Lord if we're saved, and we're His sheep. And so the sheep looks to the shepherd. And so my grandmother lived on the farm, and she milked cows. And so I would occasionally stay there through the summer, and I would get up they got up early, and so there was, let's just put it this way, when you live on the farm, you get up when it's dark, and you go to bed as soon as it gets dark. And so when I was growing up, but I remember going with my grandma to milk the cows. And so, and they knew her voice. I know how she called them, but I'm not going to do that. Y'all would probably laugh at me. But as soon as she called and the cows knew her voice, they would come, and they would come running. They knew that they were going to eat, and they would be grain. And so an animal knows when good things happen. You know, my grandpa could do the same thing when he had his cows out in the field, when it was feeding time, then they knew, and they would come straight to him. And so animals are smart enough to understand when you get close to your master, if you will, then good things happen. And so that's kind of the way that I want us to look at this psalm tonight, is simply, I love my shepherd because of who he is. And we know what the scripture says. We love him because he first loved us. And we understand that because, we have to have that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, before we can even understand the word love. And understand that relationship. And then when we realize what he's done for us and what was accomplished on Calvary for us and for me and for you. And so we can make this psalm personal. So as I make this psalm personal to me, I want you to make this psalm personal to you. Because that's the wonderful thing about our Lord and the relationship that we have. This past Sunday morning, my sister sent me a text, and she was actually listening to our Sunday morning service. And I was just trying to think back, what bad thing did I say about my sister? But you know, we were all different. There were six of us in the house. We were all different. We were all raised the same. Under the same roof, but we had different personalities. We had different lives. We had different ways of. There's some foods that we liked that others didn't. One thing that I remember growing up with was souse meat, And my daddy used to get his pocket knife and he'd whittle some off. And that was a popular thing for us. And we did this together until I realized what I was eating. And then I don't think I've had any souse meat since. But my point is, we were all raised under the same roof. We're now doing different things. We live in different places. We have different families as far as our immediate families. But yet the Lord loves us the same. And that's the way He is with us tonight. So as we make this psalm personal tonight, I want you to, when I say, I love my shepherd, I want you to say in your hearts, I love my shepherd. Amen. And there's a reason that we love Him. And so that's what we want to do tonight. Let's begin reading with verse 1. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a wonderful relationship we have with the Lord. These are very difficult days, and we all know that. The more people that I come in contact with, whether it be at work or just out in the public, and I might chat with them, everyone is struggling in some way or shape or form. Businesses are struggling. We know that because hours of businesses are changing because of the fact that they need help and people aren't applying. If you go to just about any business, there's help wanted signs. And we're not going to get into why it's like that. I'm just going to talk about, and we know why it's like that, but what I want us to consider is the struggles that people are going through. We may understand why certain things are happening, but that doesn't change the fact that it's happening and people are struggling. And so businesses are struggling. Families are struggling. There's health issues. There's family issues. There's finance issues. There are loved ones that are suffering. And there's a lot of, even now, there's people that are dealing with depression. And if you've never dealt with depression, it's easy for us to say on the outside, well, just read this verse and pray about this and it'll be okay. But that's an actual struggling thing, that people go through. So it's a struggle. And then, you know, and I can't help but say it, but this COVID is a very discouraging thing. Because that's the truth. And we can try to put it aside and we can try to put it away, but in reality, it's still there. And we can believe this report and that report, and we can have, you know, differences. And if you get on any kind of social media and you read some of the things that people write, and really it's not an argument thing. It's just the fact that it's true and it's real, and whether how it is and all these reports, it's not about the reports. It's just the fact that I know personally individuals, the gentleman that I work with, he's still at home and he's now on short-term disability, and I don't know when he or if he'll come back because he's on oxygen and it's not seeming to get any better. And so this is a real thing. So it's discouraging no matter what how we're looking at it. It's discouraging. And so these are difficult days. And so tonight I would like to take a look at this psalm, and I would like us to be encouraged. And that's the reason that I've titled this message, I Love My Shepherd. And there's some reasons why that we love our shepherd. And sometimes we say something, and we may make a statement, it's good to know why we make that statement. There's been times that Darla has told me something, she knows when I'm paying more attention than other times. And so maybe I'm watching something on TV or I'm preoccupied with something, and she'll say, don't do it very often, but occasionally, she'll say something, and I'll say, yeah, you know, and then she'll say, why? And now I'm trying to remember, what'd you say? You know, when we first got married, it's just different when two people start living together in different rooms or different households coming together. And so one of the things that she did, and she'll listen to this, so I'm going to be in trouble anyway, but, you know, when we would have a disagreement, it wasn't all the time, but people do, they have disagreements, and we would say, I'm sorry, or I would say, I'm sorry, and then she would say, why? And I just thought I was doing good by saying I'm sorry. But anyway, we need to know why we love our Lord. We need to know why we love our shepherd. And so that's what this psalm's about. We need to know why. And so the very first verse says, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And it begins with the Lord. Who is it that we love? And that is the Lord. It refers to the Almighty God. It refers to the Creator. It refers to the everlasting God. It refers to, and Brother Jim sings it when I ask him to, and one of my favorite songs that Brother Jim sings, and even the song in general, is How Great Thou Art. And so we're loving the Lord. We're loving the one who's in control of everything. We're loving the one who, when you look out at night and you see the stars, the one that creates the stars. We're loving the one when you go out to the sea and you look out and you see this huge body of water, the one that created this water. When you go up to the mountains and you see mountain after mountain after mountain, we're loving the Creator. It's not the creation that we love, but it's the Creator of the creation that we love. And so then you go to your front yard and you see this flower come up, and it might be a violet or it might be something that comes up, and you look down and you're just so amazed that something that small that starts as a seed and it grows, and we say, that's the Lord. And then we look at our own lives and we see where we were and we see the path that we were on and the path that we took. And we remember the time in our life that we said yes to the Lord and we accepted Christ as our personal Savior and the one that changed us. That's our Lord. And so we're loving the Lord. And then we think about the fact that it says the Lord is, that is present tense. It's not the Lord was, it's not the Lord will be, but it's the fact that the Lord is. He's my shepherd, and I love him. He's my shepherd. And then that word my makes it personal. The Lord may be your shepherd, and I hope he is. But tonight, he's my shepherd. And when you're growing up, and your parents, you know, raising six kids, when they bought something, or when they tried to do something for the kids, you know, when you're raising six kids, everybody thinks whatever they bought is theirs. But in fact, it's ours. And so we'd say, I can just imagine how that how many times my mother just got aggravated at hearing the word mother. You know, when we were fussing at each other. And we would fuss over this or fuss over that growing up as children. And how that she had to be a referee in many cases. And then finally she'd say, it's both of yours. It's my closest sister, probably. I argued with her the most. And she's like, it's both of you. Both of you sit down and play with it or do whatever. And it's like, that's no fun. But the point is, he's your shepherd and he's my shepherd.
Amen.
And that's why we love him. That's why we love him. And so there's a personal relationship with him. And there has to be that personal relationship with him. You see, we can talk to someone about the Lord and we can talk to someone about how good God is. But unless they know him in a personal way, they look at you and they have that deer in the headlight look and they're not understanding. But when someone has that personal relationship with the Lord, then they know what you're talking about. And so the Lord is my shepherd, which speaks of relationship. A parent and a child has that relationship. A parent will do anything that they can to help that child. And you can give testimony of this, and your children are, you know, no different than mine, are getting older. But it doesn't matter how old your children get, they're still going to be your children. And if you can help them in any way, you're going to do it. Because that's what a parent will do. Well, our Lord's going to do the same thing. And that's that special relationship. The shepherd cares and the shepherd provides for his sheep. Notice what else it says in verse 1. I shall not want. Why? Because he's the great provider. He's the one that provides. So there's a few things that I want to make mention here in this psalm. And first, and I want us to understand we are loving our shepherd. And then the question is, why do we love him? Why do we love him? We know there has to be a relationship, which is verse 1. There has to be a relationship. And there has to be an understanding of who he is. The sheep have to understand the shepherd, just like the cows that my grandmother used to milk. They understood who she were or who she was. And so that when I was a little boy, I would try to call the cows. And they wouldn't pay no attention to me. But as soon as they heard her voice, then they paid attention. And they would come quickly running to her because they understood. And so we need to understand who the shepherd is. We need to understand our relationship. And now here's some things that help us to understand why we love him. Why I love the shepherd. And first, he satisfies and gives us rest. Notice what it says in verse 2. He gives satisfaction and rest. And verse 2 says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. They say sheep only lie down. And I'm not a shepherd as far as I've never raised sheep. But from what I'm understanding and the things that I've read, a sheep will only lie down when they are satisfied. They'll only lie down when they're satisfied. And I think about our salvation and what we have. And we can rest in our salvation because it doesn't depend on anything that we can accomplish, but it depends upon everything that he has accomplished and everything that he did. And I firmly believe this, that if we were the only ones living, he would have still died for us. That's how important we are to him. And we're important individually. He understands your smallest hurt and your biggest hurt and everything in between. He understands the fact that we're troubled and we're discouraged, and he understands everything that people are going through today. But notice what it says. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And I was thinking about that. He maketh me to lie down and green pastures. Maketh me. How many times when you were growing up, did your mother or father or whoever it was that were taking care of you made you sit down because you were squirming and you weren't listening? And as soon as you sat down and they finally got you to sit down, then they had your attention and they could talk to you about whatever it was that they needed to tell you. And there were times, and I was one of them children. I mean, it's amazing how life changes, because I was one of them children that despised naps. I didn't like naps. And I would fight it every time my mother would say, go lay down and take a nap. And I would fight it. I went so far as to sometimes climb out the window and play with my friends. And she would go in and check on me and I wouldn't be there. And she would holler for me to come back. And that happened so many times. And finally, she had to get firm with me. And when I finally laid down, then I would take a short nap and I would be refreshed. And what I didn't realize was I could stay out longer had I just taken a nap. And so she was trying to teach me, and she thought and she knew what was good for me. And she was making me to lie down. And sometimes we're uneasy as Christians. And sometimes we're fretting and we're bothered about all these things, and we're troubled about all these things. We're troubled about the things that were happening around us. But remember, we love our shepherd. And if we love him, then sometimes he has to make us to lie down. But when we do lie down, he's putting us in them green pastures. And he's giving us the rest that we need. Because we can't carry these burdens and we can't carry these problems alone. We can't. And you know what I'm talking about. There's been times that we've had sleepless nights, and there's been times we've worried. And sometimes I think an individual can, I know I speak of myself. Sometimes when you listen to too much news, it has a reverse effect on you. And so you have to be careful what you're putting in. We need to be informed. There's no question there. But we have to be careful what we're putting in our minds, because he wants us to rest. And we love him. And the shepherd, as he's leading the sheep, then the calm sheep are the ones that are laying down. So he gives us satisfaction and he gives us rest. I go back to our salvation. Nothing can be added to make us any more saved. Isn't that wonderful? Absolutely. Nothing has to be added to make us any more saved than the time that we accepted Christ as our personal Savior. But there are some beliefs out there that you have to do this and you have to do that. And one of the churches that many, many years ago that I used to attend, I went to their youth program, and I didn't know, I didn't understand some of the doctrine, and our pastor mentioned doctrine, and it's important for us to understand doctrine. But, she made the statement, or this youth leader made the statement when she had everybody bow their heads. She said, if you want to get saved again, raise your hand. And I didn't even know. I'm like, that don't sound right. And so now through the scripture and through understanding, I know why it didn't sound right to me, because we know that God doesn't do anything halfway, but he does it completely. So when Christ died for our sins and we accepted him, the Bible says we're sealed until the day of redemption. Amen. So when he did this and when he saved us completely, and that gives us rest. That gives us rest. Colossians 2 verses 9 through 10, the Bible says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete. Verse 10 says, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and power. We are complete in Him. That should give us rest tonight. That should give us, and that gives us a reason to love Him even more, because we love our shepherd because of simply the fact that He has provided us everything. In our salvation, He's provided, we are complete in Him. I'm glad I don't have to live a life of wonder. I'm glad I don't have to live a life to where I wonder if I'm saved or not. I was actually talking to an elderly lady one time, and she made this statement. We were talking about salvation, and I had gone to see her, and her words were, I hope I'm saved. And so we began to talk, and I said, you know, you don't have to hope. You can know that you're saved. And it was several years later, she passed away, and I'm a firm believer that she accepted Christ, and she's in heaven now because of what Christ did. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So He's leading us. When we're sitting still, then He's able to lead us. And I'm talking about sitting still as far as not fighting Him, not trying to push against Him, but we're laying down and He's leading us beside those still waters. We're allowing Him to be Lord of our life, and we love Him. Verse 3 says, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Why do we love Him? Because of that restoration and guidance. Thank God for His guidance. You know, I am so thankful tonight that some of the directions that I was headed in my life, that He didn't allow me to go. He knew far better of what was going on in my life than what I knew. Isaiah 53, verse 6, the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquities of us all. Thank God for that restoration. Sheep are known to be wanderers, and they go astray. But thank God that we're complete in Him, and we don't have to wonder. You know, some of the wondering is the fact that we follow others. Some of the wondering is the fact that we're watching everything else that's going on, but we need to follow Him. And He restores our soul, and He leads us in the paths of righteousness. He leads us in the direction that we need to go. He knows far better than what we know ourselves as to what we need to do in life. I think of restoration, and I think of David himself. David was a follower of the Lord, but there was a tragedy that took place. And that tragedy was mistakes that David made in his life. And I think of Psalm 51, verse 12. The Bible says, notice what it says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. And the Lord restored him. Peter denied the Lord, and he went out and wept bitterly. But yet when Christ was asking to see the disciples, he said, send for my disciples and Peter. Do you see the point that I'm getting at? That the reason that we love our shepherd? Look at your life. Maybe there's some times that you went down the wrong road. And you made some poor decisions. And you're still, sometimes when we make poor decisions, we still have to live with the outcome. But yet He'll still forgive us. Amen. And so that's why we love Him. Verse 4, and I must hurry. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He gives us comfort, courage and comfort. This is something only that He can give. A child of God has nothing to be afraid of when it comes to death. And I do believe this, and I have experienced it. Many of you have experienced it. But there is something called that dying grace that God gives. And unless Christ comes back first, we're going to experience that dying grace. And when we take our last breath, can you imagine what we'll see? We love Him tonight. We're not alone. He's with us. He can comfort us. And He does comfort. Verse 5 says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. He gives us deliverance and victory. Even around the enemies. What a great blessing. And there are great enemies today. There's always been great enemies. But it just seems like they're more prevalent now. And we can feast on the Lord's blessing. Even in the turmoil that our world is going through, we can feast on God's blessings. We don't like the things that's happening around us, and they can make us discouraging. But you know, we can still rejoice because we love Him. You know, think about a marriage. When individuals love each other, there's going to be some hard times, and there's going to be some times that are difficult. But you never stop loving that person. We love our shepherd. His goodness, His grace reminds us that we're His children. And I think about, you know, the word that comes to my mind, and you know I like words, but the words that comes to my mind is His patience. He is so patient with us. We see the things that are happening and we think, well, how can it get much worse? You know, I'm thankful that He's patient because He wants everyone to be saved. We see the things that's happening and we see the direction. But you know, He loves those individuals as much as He does us. And for that, we're grateful. So I'm thankful for His patience. It goes on to say that my cup runneth over. When we start thinking about all these things, and when we start thinking about how much we love Him, and these are the reasons why we love Him, then our cup's going to get full. And they're just going to run over because of His goodness. And then in verse 6, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, I was thinking about that verse 6, and we understand what our future is, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But notice what it says, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And that is our journey in life. Every one of us have a journey in life. And we're on different paths, but it's still a journey. And our shepherd is leading us. And we know of His goodness, we know of His mercy, and those things are following us. His mercy is following us. His goodness is following us. Isn't that wonderful? That these things are following us on our journey. They're following us. And then it goes on to say, And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's our final resting place, is in the presence of the Lord. We don't know what today's going to bring us. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring us. We don't know what next week's going to bring us, next month, next year. We don't know what the next many years are going to bring us. But we know our destination is heaven if we know Christ as our personal Savior. We love Him tonight. We can have confidence that we will be with the Lord. And we have a bright future. We have a very, very bright future. Our message tonight is, I love my shepherd. These are the reasons through this psalm as to why we love our shepherd. But there must be a relationship. There must be a relationship. And I trust there is. For you that are listening, we thank you for continuing to listen to our services. But our desire, we may not ever see you, you know, think about that just for a minute. We might not ever see the many people that continue to listen to our webcast. We might never see those individuals. But if they're saved and we're saved, we're going to meet. We love Him tonight because He's our shepherd. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the encouragement that you bring us if we will only look. It's in your word. And all we have to do is spend time in your word. And we can find encouragement. We can find joy. We can find peace. We can find comfort. And we know that there's so many uneasy things that's happening around us. But Lord, I just want to tell you personally that I love my shepherd. And Father, I pray if there's someone that wants to come to this altar, that they'll be willing to come. And those that are listening, encourage them. Thank you for salvation. And thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our hearts. Bless us our time together during this invitation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.